This is Tracy White, a reporter at Stanford Medicine Magazine, and you're listening to a Stanford Medicine podcast. I went to Fresno in the fall to hear firsthand the stories of this summer's deadly heat wave that killed 138 people in California. That's more than the Loma Prieta and Northridge earthquakes combined. Temperatures soared into triple digits for 12 straight days in July, breaking all kinds of records and refusing to cool down at night. Global warming's fingerprints were left all over this natural disaster. I listened to ashen-faced morgue workers, totally unprepared for the overwhelming number of bodies they were forced to pile two to a gurney. I talked to shaken politicians who admitted they were caught flat-footed. 81-year-old Lula Batty, who lives in a Fresno trailer park, told me how one night her neighbor's lights never went on. She was worried, so she called her manager the next morning, who called the sheriff's office. Batty stood outside and watched as the sheriff walked into her neighbor's trailer home. When he came out, she could tell by his eyes her neighbor was dead. I talked to a 60-year-old homeless man who hangs out in the mall near the downtown Fresno courthouse about his three homeless friends who died in the heat wave, one collapsing in front of the Fresno Rescue Mission. He survived by staying in the shade and continually splashing water on his face. And Al Helmuth told me about his 79-year-old brother, Dixie, who collapsed and died on Tuesday, July 25th, out in the Central Valley's grape fields after driving a tractor for 10 hours in temperatures that reached 114 degrees. What was most startling about this story was the lack of awareness from public officials to the victims themselves of the degree of danger the heat wave posed. Victims often refused to turn on air conditioning to save on electric bills. They kept their windows closed to keep out burglars and went to bed in their baking homes, expecting temperatures to drop during the night. Family would find them dead the next morning in rooms that reached temperatures of 125 degrees. California isn't the first place to be shocked into discovering how dangerous heat waves can be. More frequent and more intense deadly heat waves are occurring worldwide due to a number of factors, global warming prime among them. Stanford biology professor Chris Field, a nationally recognized expert on climate change, is far from alone in warning that we better be prepared for more.
Currently in the summer, any time we see temperatures 10 degrees warmer than the average, it's a serious heat wave. What will happen when it's 2 degrees warmer on average is that now, every time the temperature is 8 degrees warmer than the average, we'll have a serious heat wave. And in general, the frequency of extreme events gets to be greater and greater as you let the magnitude of the extreme event be smaller, so that a deviation of 8 degrees above average might occur 5 times as frequently as a deviation of 10 degrees above average. In areas like California, where we generally have moderate but warm conditions, where a modest amount of warming will push us into the zone that becomes increasingly dangerous for human health.
They call heat waves invisible natural disasters because there's no dramatic television footage to run, no homes destroyed by hurricanes, no bodies buried in the rubble of earthquakes. They strike the sick, the elderly, and the dispossessed, the weakest members of our aging society. Talk to public policy experts and they'll tell you no one need die during a heat wave. Uninterrupted exposure to intense heat causes the body's defenses to break down, warns Dr. Eric Weiss, an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Stanford and an expert on heat illness.
Yes, it's always more dangerous when there's no cooling off period, and it can be cumulative. So your body is still producing heat, but you're not getting periods where you're able to catch up with the heat production by dissipating it into the environment. Also, dehydration becomes more of a factor. The symptoms of heat illness are very similar to a flu. You basically feel achy. You don't feel very energetic. You might have a headache. You might be nauseated. You might have some muscle cramps. They're very nonspecific, and oftentimes people don't always attribute the symptoms to heat illness. They think maybe they're coming down with a bug, but really these could be early signs of heat exhaustion. As the temperature gets higher than 106 degrees Fahrenheit, you basically begin to injure cells within the body. And some of the most susceptible cells in the body are in the brain. So the brain cells begin to die away, liver cells begin to die, and then the cells that line the blood vessels, called endothelial cells, will also become damaged. And that sets up a complication called disseminated intravascular coagulation, which is a major reason people die of heat stroke. The best way to cool somebody is to first remove as much heat as you can. So stop them from exerting themselves, move them into a shady area, or bring them into an air-conditioned or cool room. Remove any clothing that might be inhibiting their ability to dissipate heat, any insulative clothing. And then a couple of tricks that people can do, excellent methods for cooling somebody, it doesn't require a lot of technology, is you can take ice packs, even chemical ice packs work fine, and you can place them along the neck, under the armpits, and in the groin, where large blood vessels come near the surface. And this will go a long way towards dissipating heat. The next thing you can do is spray them with warm water. Most people would intuitively think to use cold water, but the cold water, if you spray it all over the skin, will produce vasoconstriction and generate shivering, both of which mitigate the body's ability to dissipate heat.
On Tuesday, July 25th, the hottest day of the summer's heat wave, temperatures reached 114 degrees, the fourth day in a row that temperatures had topped 110 degrees. Many who brought victims into the Fresno morgue that day spoke in tones of shocked disbelief of how the bodies were discovered. The victims looked like they were just resting. Victims like 83-year-old Albert Williams, who was found stretched out on his couch at home by his girlfriend. He looked so peaceful, she said. She thought he was asleep. This has been Tracy White for Stanford Medicine Magazine. Thank you for listening.